And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So it's funny how these topics, these ideas that flow through my head as I attempt to build a conversation that we all can sit down and have, how they all play out. Different ideas build differently. Sometimes it's just a matter of me getting the words out to record, and then I'm able to ponder and think about things myself in a different light. Somehow I've inspired myself to think differently. Sometimes it happens after I record and go back and listen and make sure that the product I am giving to you is worth its listen, worth at least a chance to listen. And then sometimes I go through, I gather all my show notes, quite the collection for today's episode. Whether or not we follow them is quite a different story. I'm not too sure where this will take us today. But I gathered all these show notes in an attempt to, again, get things lined up, be prepared. Then I went about my day, my life. I'm outside doing yard work, doing all my regular chores, only to sit there and get my chance again to elaborate, expand, and rediscover where I want to go with just the topic, the idea of the little phrase of there's something in the water. We've all heard that phrase, that situation. Figured I'd keep it simple and look up the etymology, and who knows where the etymology came from. It's kind of been used all throughout the things. But as we have used it and known, hopefully we've all known, that it's kind of an appearance when we walk into a new society, a new town. And there's a way about things. There's a way about people. Just a little bit different than where you come from. The idea came from there's something in the water. Something that everybody's got to drink from the same water source. And so maybe there's something kind of funky that kind of influences things. The way I kind of originally looked at it was maybe something along the lines of ergot poisoning. Something that goes back in time of the bacteria that grows on wheat, rye wheat. And it creates similar effects, hallucinogenic effects to LSD and whatnot. But it's not LSD. It's potentially a lot more dangerous ingesting it. But there's St. Anthony's Fire, which is attributed to ergot. There's the Dancing Plague of 1518. Where everybody for a month just got down and boogied as they're freaking out, man, as a means of trying to figure it all out. And even the Salem witch trials have been blamed on ergot poisoning, where everybody was consuming the same material, the same bread, kind of all freaking out, seeing witches where there may or may not have been witches. But this something in the water is kind of funny with Eastern Tennessee. This place has been inhabited for quite some time. The late 1700s is when some of these towns have been formed, and there's been some Industrial Revolution kind of stuff through here, and there's been some bad EPA management before the EPA showed up. It started wrangling everybody up to make sure that there was minimal pollution going into the water and into the ground. We think of hillbillies and their shade tree mechanics pulling engines out of their trucks underneath the tree with a rope and maybe some chain. And who knows where all that oil goes into the ground. Kind of a little bit of poisoning. But then there's also radon. That's a thing down here where there's radioactive rocks within the ground. You got to get your home tested. Something in the air, radon. You got to be careful with that. Causes lung cancer, so they say. Not something you have to worry about outside, but within homes, within a very stagnant air location, radon is something that is to be considered when moving down here. And while there may be something in the air like that, it's not going to make people a little bit crazy. The idea of going back to it, something in the water. Again, all this pollution, all these runoff. There's signs all over the place that say, you know, free water testing. How's your water today? And is it clean enough? And the city and the county and the municipalities do their a good enough job cleaning everything. It's not as toxic as Flint, Michigan or Jackson, Mississippi. We have to clean it. Got to make sure people are staying healthy. We don't want things like E. coli coming through our faucet. We don't want to have to worry about having to boil water all the time. Something that people who were crossing the United States back in the days of the Oregon Trail had to boil their water to drink it safely. But even with the municipality cleaning up and adding whatever flavors to the water, be that chlorine or fluoride, gives it a unique flavor. I was spoiled in my last house. I got to drink well water, so I didn't have to worry about any added chemicals outside of them bleaching it to make sure that any extra bacteria was safe. But the water here apparently has enough of a flavor. I haven't tasted it yet. I bought a filtered water system for this house. But so much so of the taste, it's funny. You walk around the grocery store, everybody's got their six packs of cola, their Pepsi product or Coca-Cola products hanging off the side of their carts. You can buy gallon jugs of sweetened iced tea or fountain soda drinks. There's a handful of restaurants here where you show up and you're like, I want a gallon of that fountain drink. And they give you a gallon milk jug full of that soda. Something to keep you away from the water. Maybe there's something in the water these people are afraid of, that they're worried about it. Or maybe it just tastes that bad and sugar tastes that much better. Kind of can't blame them on that one. But again, what if it's not just in the water? One of the things that's kind of blown my mind is the different selections of wood. Outside of the different designs of the houses, different materials between East and West Coast, the pine that I was able to purchase at the local big box store, much different than the pine that I'm able to purchase down here. The pine that is in the stores is a much sturdier stock. I'm sure it's just as soft of a wood, but the grain is different. The stripes within the wood are much different. And another thing that bugged me, I really appreciate cedar. Cedar does not grow down here. I'm sure there's a handful of cedars, but nothing like the cedar that's available in Washington. The closest place I have to go to find something similar is the southern border of Michigan to be able to find something. When I traveled out here, I brought just a handful of extra decking strips of cedar. People looked at me funny when I was bringing those, and I knew that they weren't going to grow out here, but it didn't register with me. Didn't fully click until I was out here. And so, while it is still a domestic product, I now have exotic wood here at the house. Something that I will now use it even more sparingly in whatever project I choose to use it for, because it's now a little bit more special. But the dirt is different. The air is different. The water is different. Back in Washington, I lived in an old glacial runoff gully stream situation. Thousands and thousands of years ago, where my house was definitely a riverbed. And as you dug into the dirt, you could see the silt and the round rocks that showed that it used to be a riverbed. The dirt was soft and malleable, being able to easily grade things. Whereas here, the dirt is compact. It's red clay. The rocks that are within the dirt are jagged and square cut. This ground does not hold water. It runs off water. The water in Washington, again, my area, was permeable. It would soak up water, become squishy. The water, you could understand the water table raising and lowering. Here, not so much. There's little gullies, there's little runouts on how the water flows down these hills. Obviously, the weather is different, a little bit different from inland and somewhat more coastal from where I was. It wasn't on the coast, but definitely a lot closer to the coast. the mountain ranges and how they deal and affect with all the pressure systems. Western Washington, has a dry season where you definitely should not burn, otherwise whole area can go up in smoke. And it should be ending right about now, cooling off, chilling out. The rain will be here soon enough, at least in Washington. Whereas the rains here in Tennessee have already come and gone, and now we have our dry season, and the way the grass kind of dries out, but it's still alive, and I guarantee if I sprinkle just a little bit of water on that, turn right back to green. So the people here act a little bit funny, act a little bit different. The society, definitely a little bit different, but we're not dipping into society. Inherited ways of living. There's something in the water. There's something in the air. There's something in the ground. The way that this whole area flows, it's got an ebb. It's got a natural property to it. Kind of affects how the day-to-day goes. The general climate of here is quite different, as it should be. But as we think about all these different areas within the greater United States or even around the world, we can think about the different aspects of the weather. We think about northern United States and how much snow they get. We think about the deserts of the Southwest and how little rain they get. There's something in the air, there's something in the water. It kind of affects how we all interact and how we flow within our day-to-day. We can think about the overcast skies of Western Washington and the gray and misery of that. But there's a certain kind of person that thrives in that kind of scenario. Just as there's another certain kind of person that thrives in the land of snow, the land of desert, or here in the Southeast, or even on an island where they get crazy monsoon weather. I mean, Florida man didn't get his name just from news headlines. Florida's a crazy place to live with that weather. But how's the water taste where you are? How does the air smell where you are? Is there something in the air? Is there something in the water that makes you and everybody else kind of feel a specific way, act a specific way, make society kind of bend and shape like a little bit of the river as we flow through this time? Ideas, talking points, something to get those gears turning. Nothing too extreme, but a fun mental exercise, I hope. And I've been Billy Bones, BILLYBON, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter and Gab at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the No Agenda Social instance, at Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. If you need to get in contact with me, you got those three ways of short, simple communication. Otherwise, you can go to the website, billybones.com, and there is a link to email me. Go ahead and send me a full-on diatribe. But also on the website, there's links to show notes. There's links to guest episodes, as well as all the previous episodes. But a couple weeks ago, I sat down with Sir Spencer and Dame DeLorean for a Bulls with Buds episode. Sat down, had a great conversation with them, recollecting a little bit of my road trip with them. A few other fun tales. And then I also sat down with Hog Story with John and Carolyn for their 5-minute limit. Kind of a morning zoo, fun little radio show. Had fun with that. Go ahead and give that a listen. See if maybe that's something that I can chase down as another means of making this podcast a fun idea. But this is also a value for value podcast as seen on the website. If you scroll all the way down, there's a little link that says value for value. I put this podcast out for free, no paywall, no advertisers, in an attempt to share with you something of value. And if you found any value out of this episode or the entire podcast series, I'm fantastic. I'm glad you did. Thank you. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, an idea, a means to communicate their ideas just a little bit better. But if you think this show is worth a monetary value, be that Federal Reserve Freedom Units, otherwise known as the U.S. dollar, or Satoshis, you're welcome to donate. And today's donor, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, coming in with $15. Thank you very much, sir, for helping me keep these lights on and help me getting ready to budget for a new graphic equalizer. One of my channels went out on that right as I started recording this a couple minutes ago, and we're still alive and kicking with one channel left to go. So, a humble request for dollars, Federal Reserve Freedom Units. But again, if it's worth value, anything of value, the first thing I ask that you do is you give the show a share. But thank you for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.